we are all in the season where the topic at the moment, for those that don't know, is advancing the kingdom agenda. So this is what we're looking at as a family. And over the last few weeks, we've been having some wonderful words. A few weeks ago, Tunde was looking at compassion. Sorry, and I've got my notes. How many of you have got notes from that session? See, I'm going to come out and start targeting people. No, but if you don't, get a piece of paper, a pen, and your Bible, because the devil doesn't care that we come to church. The devil cares that we come to church and get something that impacts our lives, that when we go out there, we are different. He doesn't care that you're here. He cares that you hear something that is going to impact your life and change you. And he will use every opportunity to prevent you from doing that. So I encourage everyone, get your Bibles and your pens. So Tunde was talking about compassion, that we're all sinners and in need of a savior, and that there is no weight of sin that the cross cannot handle. Powerful message. And then last week we heard from Aaron, who was talking about the Holy Spirit and your work. And I'm going to build on some of the themes that Aaron was talking about. But we addressed things like, what is the kingdom? Why the Holy Spirit empowered to work? And more importantly, a question, what is your legacy? Which are powerful and poignant questions. So today, I just want to read, before I begin and pray, we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. There we go. Okay. Everyone can see that? For those of you that don't have your Bibles. Okay. Let's read. So, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, or can be translated, has God actually said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together. Oh, let me go to the next one. Oh, yes, thank you. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Today, I want to talk on the topic of poisoned perspective. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we invite you into this presence this morning. We invite your presence into this atmosphere. Father, I pray that I will decrease, that you might increase in me. That as a vessel, Lord God, that you will speak through me. I pray over the soil of our hearts today, Lord God, that it will be soil that is open, ready, and fertile ground, Lord God, that as you plant the seed in our hearts this morning, that it will awaken our consciousness to your word. Father, I pray that our hearts and minds will be challenged today, and that we will think about how we see you, how we engage with you. And Father, as our consciousness is awakened, Father, I pray that we will be challenged to respond to your call. And I say these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to, gone too far. Okay. So today, this clicker's giving me some problems. We're going to start with the end. So we're going to start with the end in mind. So what are we going to talk about today, and what are we going to be looking at? The first point is we must be sensitive to the influences and drivers of our perceptions of God. What impacts that? And I put in there, know your enemy. Aaron said something last week that really just hit a chord with me. That when you treat the devil as if he's just a little schoolboy, like, that's unwise. You need to know your enemy. He's existed for a millennia. He understands you. He's been studying you from the day you were born. We need to understand the mind of God to live a healthy Christian life. And number three, the only labels we should accept for ourselves are the ones God has given us. I want to start with this. How many people see a triangle? Don't be scared. We're not in school. How many people can see a triangle? Okay. And any circles or any other objects? Okay, so we see circles and triangles. But what if I told you that neither were there? Ooh. This is an illusion. The way that the mind works is it fills in gaps. They're not full circles. There's a 50 or 40 degree angle in there, so it's not a full circle. And yet there are no straight lines for triangles. But the way that the mind works is that it fills in the gaps. And from what I read, it's a part of our defense mechanism as human beings. But the point is that the brain may think it sees or knows something when in actual fact it has no clue. Perception. The power of perception. What do we hear? That perception is reality. And I want this to be in the forefront of your minds when you think about what you think you know. Where has that knowledge come from? So we go to the scriptures. And this is a very famous passage. Everyone's most probably heard it 1,000 times. I want to come at this at a very different angle, and hopefully from a perspective that will get you to think. So the situation here, as we can see, is that Adam and Eve are in the garden. And Eve is in the middle of a conversation with the serpent. And the serpent is doing something that is quite peculiar at this particular junction in our journey. Forget the fact that he's having a conversation. He's having a conversation with her about something that she's told with no clear reason to do so. Because God has not interacted with this serpent. He has had no engagement with this serpent. Yet this serpent is interested in engaging with Eve. And he says, let me correct that. With engaging with Eve and Adam. But we'll come on to that. And he says, has God actually said, you shall not eat of the tree? Or let me correct that. Has God not actually said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So he's saying, can't you have all of this? Like, hasn't God said you can have it all? Testing what she knows. And Eve, in her response, and I encourage everyone, do not read the Bible fast. I say this every time I come up here, and I always repeat it. Read it slowly. Just read it slowly. So Eve's response, again, is quite interesting. It says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, correct? But then she says something else. She adds to what God said, which is, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. That's quite interesting. It's the first time that that an instruction has been given direct from God's mouth, and the word, even in the instruction, is not perceived as it was delivered. Now, this could be, let's not project, I'm not going to condemn them straight away. This could be a safety measure that Adam and Eve agreed. That, you know, we're not supposed to eat that. I tell you what, to keep us safe, don't even touch it. Okay, fair enough. But when she was reciting what God said, it was something outside of what he said. The devil clocked. Okay. This isn't 100%. This isn't 100%. Okay. Then he goes on to say this. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, we'll come on to that. I just want to point out something. Between verse 4 and 5, the devil does something that if we don't pay attention to it, we'll miss it. Because this is the blueprint for what happens to each and every one of us every single day. Satan accused God of lying in a very subtle way. And he says, listen, in verse 4, you will not surely die. Point of mortal, or the appearance of mortal fact. That if the impression is, well, if I eat this, I'm going to drop dead. Then it gives the impression that he told the truth. But the death that they was being spoken of was not just mortal. So now, point 5 or verse 5 is where we really want to pay attention. It goes, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Knowledge of good and evil. He's saying he's lying to you. He's not telling you the truth. There's a deception in there. More importantly, he's keeping something from you. He is not to be trusted. You can't trust him. You can't trust him. You may be able to, he's all right with telling you what you can eat, like you can have those foods, but there's something else that he's not telling you. As a result of this, we go to verse 6. Let's go back. And what we read is the impact of that one sentence. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and this line here, this is why I say don't read the Bible fast, and a tree desirable to make one wise. The desire for the trees in the garden was for food, but her appetite changed. It became about equality with God. What is interesting here, brothers and sisters, is that the fall of man involved no demons. It involved no witchcraft or wizardry. It was a conversation. It was something as simple as a conversation. Now, when we look at Adam and Eve, because this is the period of innocence. They were innocent. And the moment that Eve changed the position and allow herself to see the instruction of God from a perception or from a perspective that God himself did not instruct, she became flawed. She went from innocence to independence from God. I want to plant this first question. How many of our decisions that we make are independent of the instruction and direction of God? How many? How many decisions that we make do we actually think, wait, hold on, I think I should do this. I think this is not too bad. I think this is going to be good for me. Now, when she noticed that it was something desirable to make her wise, her perspective completely changed. And this is the point of a poison perspective, a perspective that we accept to be true, that is outside of the governance and guidance of God. Because when we do not understand the mind of God, we struggle to understand the ways of God, his instruction. Well, why was there a tree there in the first place? Those are the types of questions that we will ask as a distraction for disobedience, rather than actually questioning our genuine motives as to what made us make the decision in the first place. So it says that when the woman saw her eyes, that it was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The term with her in Hebrew, he was present throughout the whole conversation. God's instruction was directly to Adam. Adam sinned through silence. How many of us, in our silences, allow the enemy to take over? Adam's actions in his silence are watch. I won't say anything. Do you know what? I'm actually going to participate. The pattern of destruction touched this family collectively. How many of us allow people to be around us and we just watch? We watch them take death with no concern whatsoever. Our perception is wrong. Our perception is wrong. That if we really saw who we are through the lens of the one who made us, we would look at that and say, that cannot happen around me. That cannot happen. We are salt and light. That's what we've been called to do. So when we look at this, the condemnation was collective. The condemnation was collective. It wasn't just about Eve. It was about Adam as well. And what we can see from the behaviors of Adam and Eve is that they knew the instruction of God, but they didn't know the mind of God. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. The way in which we interact with the revelation of God and who he is based on our understanding of his mind. The mind of God. What do I mean by the mind of God? What do I mean? Okay. Let's fast forward through all of this. Okay. The mind of God is God revealed, first and foremost. Our understanding of who God is not based on who we think God is. It's about who he's revealed himself to be. His mind is revealed. It's revealed through his word. The more exposure you have to the word is more of the mind of God revealed to you. This is why the enemy wants us to have a misconception of reading the Bible, of spending time. Oh, do you know what? It's a bit long. it's a bit long. Oh, I've got all these things to do. Oh, I've got to go to work. Or, oh, do you know what? I've got to look after the kids. Or, do you know what? I've had such a long day. I just need to rest. Because the more our time and energy is consumed with other things, it's the less of the mind of God that we understand. If we do not understand the mind of God, we cannot connect with the word of God to then understand the ways of God. If I don't understand the ways of God, the God that I believe in is based on my perception of him, not who he revealed himself to be. Now, if I go based on my perception, I am prone to these conversations. You cannot trust him. Oh, he'll help you with your bills, but he won't help you with your insecurity. Oh, he'll give you those clothes. Yeah, yeah, go and pray about that. But you see that sin, you should be ashamed. He doesn't love you. Oh, look, he works for brother John, but he can't do it for you. You're beyond his reach. Poison perception. Poisoned. 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 The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. You may only read one hearing, but the meaning is not I've read and therefore I've heard and therefore it stops. No, it's continuous. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if I have no connection with the word, I cannot build my faith. And if I don't have faith, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because when we come to him, we must first believe that he is God. Now, if I have a misconception of the fact that he is God, I cannot come to him in that understanding. That affects my engagement. I want to look at the scriptures that reveal the mind of God. Jeremiah 29:11. If you've got pens, write this down, but obviously you can watch this back online. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Nehemiah 9:11. You are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. The point is that we will go on to different aspects of the revelation of the mind of God, that he reveals who he is. The next scripture what we look at is the fact that God's heart, his intentions for every instruction that he gives us is for our good. That if he tells you no, it's for your good. We go to Isaiah 43, 1-3. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the rivers, they shall not overflow you. There's two scriptures that I would have ended with. John 3:16. For God so that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, but his motivation is love. That while we were yet sinners, Christ yet died. His motivation is love. 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 So when he tells you no, it's not because he doesn't care. But it's out of love. It's out of love. It's out of love that we shouldn't be living independent lives from God. Our lives should be completely submitted to his instruction like a child to a parent. Isn't it interesting that the first action of human independence was disobedience? The first action of human independence is disobedience. And yeah, I can imagine the parents are like, I see this all the time. That's what it is. Ah, you think you're independent? Nah, sir. But it's interesting that even when you see that in the minds of children who are innocent, this has been going on since the beginning. So I go on to verse 7. And I'm going to be wrapping up very soon. But he says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Interesting. The first thing that they knew was that they were naked. Their independence from God led to shame. That two people that were free amongst each other did not even trust the opinions of what they thought of them the moment their eyes were supposedly open in independence. It brought about shame. And the shame started with Adam and Eve. Oh my goodness, you're naked. Fig leaves. What did they do? They cut the fig leaf from its source. So from the moment the thing that they used to cover them was dying, they covered themselves in fig leaves. Something that instantly was going to die. The moment they cut it from the branch, it was cut off from the life source to cover up their shame. They were dying from the beginning. And then now this shame led them to hide. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? This wasn't a question for God. This was a question for Adam. This is a question for you. Where are you? God is calling right now. Where are you? Where are you? That when you examine your life, the devil doesn't care that you're here. He cares that you hear something that makes a difference. You need to be honest with yourself and ask yourself this question: where am I and how did I get here? And he said to him, where are you, Adam? And this response, in my humble opinion, is the response that every one of us gives to God at some point in our lives, if not currently. So God has called out to you, where are you? And your answer is, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Lord, I heard that you called me, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Lord, I know you want me to be involved, but I was afraid that I'm not good enough because I got up to these things, because my parents told me this, because I failed at all of these different things, because I'm a sinner, so I hid myself. Lord, I'm willing to give you my money, but I'm not ready to give you me. When the call of God goes out, the call of God is not based on how you see yourself. It's based on how God sees you in his hands. What's interesting is God's response to Adam. Who told you you are naked? Who told you that you have no value? Who told you that you cannot be used? Who told you that you are what you think you are? Who told you this? Because it didn't come from me. Who told you, Adam? Who told you, Adam? Who told you what you think about yourself? Where has that come from? Has it come from him? Or has your perspective been poisoned? Poisoned by the experiences that you have that you haven't actually got through. Poisoned by the heartache and the brokenness of your past. Has it been poisoned by the words of all of those negative people around you that makes you believe that the way that you see yourself is the way that you are? Let me say this to each and every one of you, whether you are a churched person or unchurched person, which can be categorized as a believer in Christ or a non-believer. You are not who you think you are if you are living a life independent of God. The Bible says any man in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. There is a newness of life that is waiting for you to use your free will to attain. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? Where are you? Why are you afraid when my heart for you is only love? Come to me, all who is heavy laden, I will give you rest. You need peace? Cast your burdens unto me. You need joy? Come to me. You feel weak? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You come. I'm not asking you to change. I'm asking you to come and I'll be responsible for the change. I need you to come. No one goes to the doctor well. We go to the doctor because we need a physician to deal with our ailments. Come. Do not let the enemy deceive you into believing that he cannot be trusted. He can be trusted. The question is, will you answer the call? Is the purpose of God for your life being delayed because of a misconception? Is your perspective of God's purpose for your life poisoned because the enemy wants to make you ineffective? He wants you to feel that you're going through the motions and making a difference. Remember this, it's not about motion. Rocking horses have motion and no movement. This is about progress. Is God getting glory from your life? Glory, not acknowledgement, glory. That means that in all things, are you allowing him to make them work together for your good, that glory can be returned back to him? I'm going to close. If we do not understand the mind of God, we will not understand the ways of God. We will live in an existence of confusion. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're looking at your life and that's what you see, the word is revealing to you, your independence is killing you. Slowly. We have to reevaluate our choices. We have to reevaluate our thinking. We have to question the seeds of our thoughts and where they have come from. What we've just looked at is the father of lies giving birth to the first lie. It's right there. He cannot be trusted. He's trying to hide something from you. He's lying to you. He wants you to come and he's not going to do what he said. You cannot trust him. But the Bible says that ye shall know the truth, and it is the truth that will set you free.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.